It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy today's in. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day in your day. The Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone. It's the 25th of May. God bless each one of you all today. We're glad to be with you today. Psalms 118:24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And Psalms 122, verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. It's a blessing to be with you today, and my wife, undreamed of, will take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Let's pray. Eternal Father, loving Lord, we thank you for your watch care throughout the night. And now as we get ready to do this morning's broadcast, we pray for your spirit to come and teach us the things we need to know. Anoint the words of our pastor, fill him with your spirit, and help us always to grow in grace and wisdom. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time for Christian. It's about time. It's about time.
Topic today is what happens when we fight against God. What happens when we fight against God? What happens when we try to stop God's work, my friends? That's not a good thing. We're reading Acts chapter 13. Let's pray. Dear Father, as we open the Word of God this morning, we pray that you would help us and bless us and teach us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Now, friends, I want to share something with you. Most people don't recognize the fact that when we minister, we often think that ministry, like we know God ministers to us, so he comes down and ministers to us. And then when we think about ministering to others, we think about it going to others. Do you know the Bible teaches that we minister to God? Did you know the Bible teaches that we bless the Lord? Yeah, we want him to bless us, but why not bless him? The Bible says in Psalms 103, verse 1, "Bless the Lord." It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." If you want to have a good day, tell God early in the morning, "Lord, I bless you. I bless you." Now, how are you going to bless God? Well, he appreciates it because the Bible says you're blessing. So you're just wishing God a good day. You're just wishing God all the wonderful things that he already is. But when we bless him, brothers and sisters, you can't beat God giving. He blesses you back. And it's a blessing. So I want you all to understand this concept that we can bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that it is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. So you say, "Lord, I bless you because you woke me up this morning. I bless you because I'm clothed in my right mind. I bless you. I may not have all that I would like to have, but I could have a lot less. And there's people that are homeless out there. I bless you, Lord. And I thank you and I praise you." That's how you bless the Lord, my friends. All right, it says, "And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them.'" So fasting is a part of the gospel work, friends. It opens the mind. It clears the mind. It allows the Spirit of God to speak more clearly to his servants. "And when they had fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away." So now Saul and Barnabas are being called Paul, really. Well, it's Saul, but he's going to be called Paul in this chapter. And Barnabas are sent away. "So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus." You know, we forget that when we are sent, we are not sent by a conference. The conference might send us. We're not sent by a church. The church might send us. But we will understand, we should understand that we're being sent by the Holy Spirit. When you do the work of the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters, that's when souls are saved. You can do a lot of work. You can impress a lot of people. You can preach a lot of sermons, but it's not until the Holy Spirit really fills you that you can really make a difference in this world. It is Spirit-filled people that we need today, my friends. And that's more important than talent. That's more important than money. "So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus." Verse 5, and when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. So this is a powerful concept that they didn't just go alone. They were two by two, and then they took somebody younger with them so he could learn, he could be taught how to minister. This is how we should minister today. "And when they had gone through the isles unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus." So who was he? A false prophet. He was Jewish, and his name was Bar-Jesus, "which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God." You see, this is, we're talking about what happens when you fight against God. So this man was in close association with the deputy of the country and Sergius Paulus, and therefore he would be deceiving Sergius Paulus. And he was a sorcerer, so he probably did different types of divination and magic, and supernatural manifestations came as a result of that. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Brothers and sisters, there are people that do not want other people to hear the truth, and they will do whatever they can so that you can't share the truth with others. You stay faithful, you stay prayerful, and God will give you those opportunities at the proper time to share the truth. Then Saul, which is also called Paul, it says, I'm sorry, which also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. Now, when you, brothers and sisters, are filled with the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God speaks through you. And I want you to know, we're about to hear a denunciation. I want you all to know, Jesus nor the disciples, you won't hear them condemning with such denunciation the common people. But when there were people that were standing up against God to keep people from knowing truth, often religious leaders as well, they received some firm rebukes. But it's very interesting to know that Jesus didn't rebuke the common church member that was just struggling in daily life like this. Neither did Paul the apostles, and you know, to discourage somebody. But when somebody was standing up to try to fight against God and keep the word of God from gaining lodging in the heart of the people, brothers and sisters, they received a rebuke that was serious and said, "O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil." Now, he was filled with the Spirit when he said this. So some of you like to call other people child of the devil, but it's your own passion of your heart. No, the Spirit of God was speaking through him. "Thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season." See, God is merciful. He didn't say, "I'm going to keep you forever, but you're not going to see the sun for a season." "And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand." Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. You see, the doctrine of the Lord, friends, is powerful. But when the devil stands up to try to stop it, God works miracles to help those who are sincere to know that who is on the Lord's side. Now, when Paul, now the Bible's calling him Paul, right? Now, when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, "Ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on." Then Paul stood up and, beckoning with his hand, said, "Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they were as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with an high arm brought he them out of it." You see, brothers and sisters, he did the same thing that Stephen did before Stephen was stoned. He just started near the beginning and began to walk them through the history of how God was leading the church, because they accepted that. This is a powerful concept. Start with what people agree with you on. People agree that Jesus is the Christ, that he died on Calvary's cross. As you witness to people, let them know you're a Christian. Let them know that you believe that we're saved by grace through faith and not of ourselves. But guess what? Salvation is deliverance from sin, not in sin. I'll repeat that. Salvation is deliverance from sin, not in sin. The Bible says in Matthew 1:21, "But he shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin." You do have to let people know that it is a sin to not keep the Sabbath. The Bible says that, sin is the transgression of the law, is what it says. That's talking about the Ten Commandments, brothers and sisters, 1 John 3:4. Sin is the transgression of the law. It is a sin to break God's commandments, friends. You can't kill and go to heaven. You can't steal willfully and go to heaven. You can't be lying and fornicating and breaking the Sabbath and going to heaven. It is one of God's commandments. We must be obedient. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. There are people that will stand up against that, and they will say that I'm teaching heresy and that I'm teaching the old covenant and all these types of things, that that's what they will say, brothers and sisters, but they're not consistent. Then it's all right to kill. It's all right to steal. No. They'll say, well, there's nowhere in the New Testament that God tells us to keep the Sabbath. Brothers and sisters, the New Testament says follow all the scriptures. That's what the New Testament says. The Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So they're trying to divorce the Old Testament from the New Testament writing. The Bible didn't do that. The New Testament writers, the only Bible they had was the Old Testament. Also, my friend, Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 20, I believe, he said, pray ye that your flight be not in the winter or on the Sabbath. And he was talking about his second coming persecution that we're about to go through, and also the persecution at the destruction of Jerusalem, both of which happened after he died on Calvary's cross. So the Bible is very clear. The Sabbath is still binding on us, my brothers and sisters. There's not a scripture in the Bible where it was no longer binding. And the Bible said it was sanctified. So you would have to show from the Bible where the sanctification was lifted. Why would you lift the sanctification of some holy time that's a date with God? That doesn't even make sense. It's just that they don't want to keep the Sabbath because they want to follow the child of the papacy. The child of the papacy, brothers and sisters, is Sunday worship. The Sunday worship that people do every Sunday came from Roman Catholicism. It did not come from God. And you will have to ask yourself, is God in this? Is this where God wants me to go? Is this how God wants me to worship him? The Bible says, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Now, guess what? You didn't know. So God says in Acts chapter 17, verse 30, at the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent. See, God is so good that he accepts you just like you are, but he doesn't leave you that way. Why? Because he wants to bring you to heaven. Guess what? We're going to keep the Sabbath in heaven. We're not going to keep Sunday in heaven. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 66 that when we get to heaven, we're going to meet every Sabbath. That's what it says in Isaiah 66, brothers and sisters. And so I'm here to tell you that we have to come up higher, and God wants a full and total surrender if we're going to make it in. This is a probationary time for God to see who will accept my pardon, who will accept my power, which includes the power to keep all God's commandments, and who And those who do this will be worthy of my presence, okay? They'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, according to 1 Corinthians 15:51-52. And so, brothers and sisters, those who do not keep the Sabbath have rejected the gospel. That's what people don't like to hear it, but that's the truth. The gospel is the good news that Jesus came to offer pardon, power, and presence. So if I say, well, I don't have to keep the law, that means I don't need his power to keep the Sabbath. You need God's power. You can't keep the Sabbath by yourself, because the Sabbath is holy. To keep the Sabbath, you must be holy. You can't keep the Sabbath properly if you're not holy. Therefore, just like you see the law is spiritual, friend. You can say, I don't sleep with anybody but my wife. I don't sleep with anybody but my husband. But she sure look good. Whew. Bible says, see, the law is spiritual. You already slept with that woman. The one you just said, she looked good, you slept with her, because the Bible says in Matthew 6 that if you look upon a woman and lust after her, you've already committed adultery in her heart, in your heart. So the Bible teaches that the law is very spiritual. See, we like to look at it as just these rules. No, you can lie by just saying, You didn't say yes to the question. You said, So you can justify this. I didn't say yes. Yeah, but you said, You can lie just with the gesture of your face, the look on your eye, the wink of an eye. You can lie because whatever communication, physical communication, you communicated something that was not the truth. And Jesus calls it a lie. You didn't have to say the word because the law is spiritual. You see? That's why we can't keep God's law unless we are holy people. We need a change of heart. And that's what God gives us when we give him our heart. He changes our heart. Then new impulses. You'll get to the point where you don't want to watch that stuff on TV that you used to love to watch. You'll get to the point where you don't want to listen to the music that's not bringing you closer to God. It's suggesting sensual things and sexual things and, you know, what it was like last night. And those are things you used to listen to on a regular basis. But now the Holy Spirit said, that's not feeding you. You're not going to listen. We should listen to music that we would listen to in heaven. We should watch things that we would watch in heaven. Now, let's face it. I'm not suggesting that we can't know what's going on around us. You have things like the news. You've got some historical things, documentaries, and they're going to show things that have happened in the past. But I'm just talking about just Hollywood, friends, just the movies and all the drama and all that stuff that is sensual, sexual, perverting your concepts, people lying, people getting jealous, people, all these kinds of themes. These aren't themes that lead you closer to Christ, okay? So we're reading on. Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand, men of Israel, he begins to tell them, fear God and give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they were as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with an high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward they desired a king. And God gave unto them Saul the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Brothers and sisters, David was a murderer. David committed adultery. David is not, God is not like us. We said he did that, he did that. We like to label people, put them in that label forever. Don't have anything to do with them. You can be like that if you want to, but I'm going to tell you this. He was a man after God's own heart, and God didn't treat him that way. As a matter of fact, God let him write more of the Bible than probably anybody else. Why? Because David was humble, and he was repentant. You see, God's not like us, and a lot of us aren't going to be saved because we hear that somebody did something, don't even know if it's true. We take it, we change our posture toward the person, don't ever have to talk to them ever again in life. And guess what? That means if they go to heaven, you're not going because you wouldn't talk to them. If you wouldn't talk to them on earth, you're not going to talk to them in heaven, friend. God, this is probationary time, and if we do not get it right here on this earth, we're not going there. If whatever you're going to do in heaven, as much as possible, you should be doing on this earth, my brothers and sisters. And we don't have enough love in the church, friends. We don't. We're very judgmental people. And that's why you're not reading the word. The Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. Because when Nathan said, thou art the man, he said, I am. I'm wrong. I deserve to die. God said to Nathan, you're not going to die, but you're going to pay fourfold. So 4 of his sons died, my friends, because he gave sentence. Remember when Nathan came to him, he came with a parable, but David thought it was true. He said, there was a man in your kingdom, and he had a lot of money. And there was a poor man. He only had one little lamb. And somebody came to visit the rich man, and instead of using one of the millions of his flock, he actually took that poor man's lamb, left that man without any lamb. David said, he did what? He said he should be killed, and he should restore fourfold. Well, guess what? The baby died that Bathsheba was carrying. Absalom died in David's lifetime. Adonijah died. And one of David's sons killed the other son. I think it was Amnon. Remember, if Amnon was the one who killed his brother or Amnon was the brother who died. Okay? So in David's lifetime, now God spared him, where I don't think he was alive when Adonijah, he might have just died when Adonijah died. But the bottom line is, four of David's sons died. David's sentence on the man who was in the parable came to himself. Sin has its own consequences, brothers and sisters. We don't need to add consequences to sin. We like to punish people. And we're so far from the heart of God and this character of God that we're not even anywhere close. We don't come close to the people. We don't love people like we should. We take up a reproach. That's when you listen to an evil report without giving the person an opportunity to clear himself in the matter. We like to be involved in gossip and backbiting, you know, friends, and we think we're going to heaven. You think we're going to heaven because we're just teaching and preaching. No, you've got to be loving and giving, okay? Of this man's seed, it goes on in verse 23, hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus, talking about David. And John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John fulfilled his course, he said, whom think ye that I am? I am not he, but behold, there cometh one after me whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwelt at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. Just walking them through the history of how they killed Jesus. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declared unto you tidings, how that the promise which was made unto our fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, and is also witnessed in the second psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Now, I'm not going to go into a lot on this topic. We do not know fully the nature of Christ. We do not know fully the nature of God. We do not know fully the nature of the Holy Spirit. But I will say that the Bible does use this phrase, begotten, as referencing the resurrection. Okay? So a lot of people believe that there was a time when Jesus did not exist. I don't see that in the Bible, my friends. Even though he was the only begotten, that could have been a prophetic word because the Father would raise him from the dead or call him to re-raise from the dead. And as concerning that he raised him from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he, whom God raised again, saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you, which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. You see, Paul was apostle to the Gentiles. We're going to see that the Gentiles, there's people out there who have not heard the word. Don't try to keep sharing the word with people who already keep the Sabbath and let that be your target audience. Now, we keep the Sabbath. We hear the word. I'm not trying to say we shouldn't share the word with one another, but there's a whole world out there that hasn't heard, brothers and sisters, and so we need to share it with them. That's who needs to hear the word that we have. And a lot of times we spend a lot of time and energy trying to share and focus on the Seventh-day people who are already keeping the Sabbath. Again, we all need to hear the word too, but the point being made is we're not spending hardly the time and effort and energy to share that word with the world. Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. They didn't like the influence that the Spirit of God had in bringing the whole town. You see, God is a God of power. And through the medical missionary work, publishing, and the teaching of the gospel, many will accept the truth, my friend. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should have first been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you and you judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. You cannot stop the movement of God. You can try, but you're not going to stop the gospel, my friend. So stop trying. God will end up blinding you. It's not going to go well for you when you try to stop the spread of the gospel. May God bless you today on this May 25th. Let's pray. Father, be with us today. Thank you very much for the truth. We ask that we will have a love of the truth. We ask that you will bless us now as we study and continue to grow and as we live for you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, my dear brothers and sisters, it is time now to transition to wellness on the Worship and Wellness broadcast. We do so with the Torso song. Take about 8 minutes. Enjoy the song. Refresh yourself. And we'll be back in about 8 minutes to share a threefold powerful combination to help you stay healthy. All right, the Torso song is next.
There's a one of a kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are His natural chemo. Escape to the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon line. your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine? You can break every chain. Your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Come and see.
All right. God bless you. God bless you. It's time now to talk about a activity that will give you three of the laws of health and help heal your body. We're talking about walking particularly or other exercise in the open air. You see, my friends, my wife and I went for a walk yesterday. When we did that, we got sunlight, we got fresh air, and we got exercise, all three in one, just going for a walk. It's a beautiful thing, friends. Now, there's nothing wrong with indoor exercise, but we should get outside some every day and get that fresh air. Fresh air brings what's called negative ions. Now, negative ions are very positive for your health. They're electrically charged particles in the air or components of the air, and they actually are very healing for you. Help to also produce more endorphins, which are happy hormones, which help build your immune system, by the way. Exercise is needed. The life of the flesh is in the blood, so it strengthens the heart. And exercise also takes the toxins to areas where they need to be eliminated, and it just gives you a boost of energy as well. And so you have exercise, you have fresh air, and you have, what else did I say? So you have the exercise, the fresh air. Man, what's the third one? So funny. Sunlight. There you go. Sunlight has melatonin. It helps increase your melatonin and vitamin D. And both melatonin and vitamin D are very, very good for you, friends, good for your immune system, good for your bones, help you in a lot of different ways. So it's just good to get out. You don't have to do it in the hottest part of the day, but just to get out and exercise. And now if you just sit out in the sun, you're getting the fresh air and you're getting the sunlight, but you're not getting the exercise. So if you can exercise outside, you will be triply blessed. And I just wanted to share that with you. A good walk every day will do it. That's all it would take, or some kind of exercise outside. I'm not so much of a runner, but some of you all might be. Maybe you're bike riders or whatever the case might be, or just getting out, doing some gardening, all of that, friends. Exercising the fresh air gives you fresh air, sunlight, and exercise. It's very, very good for you. Let's try that. Let's do that once a day. At least 5 days a week. It will help you, may even save your life. All right, it's roll call time. We'll start with Facebook, and we are so happy to have South Carolina, Georgia, Virginia, and not so sure where our dear sister Effie is from, but the bottom line is we're glad to have her. We have North Carolina as well, and we have on the call, and sister dear sister Donna, I did call you, but I was a little late. I left you a message, so check your voicemail. We have North Carolina, Alabama, Maryland. We have Delaware, Delaware, and Delaware again. We have New Jersey. We have Iowa, and we have Maryland. So God bless each one of you all today as you live for Jesus and strive to stay close to him and take care of the bodies that he has given. Phone lines are open. If there is anyone that likes to share anything, we have about 15 minutes to the top of the hour. If there is anyone on Facebook, we have Happy Thursday to us. We have a good morning from Vicki, and then the Happy Thursday was from Brother Peyton. God bless you all. If there is anyone on the line, go ahead and press star 6. We'll be happy to engage with you. All right, my friends, God is good. At this time, we'll have our closing prayer. My wife is available. I'll turn it over to her for closing prayer.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this time of worship. We thank you for your word. And we pray, Lord, that as we go about this day, that we'll remember the things that we heard today, that you'll help us to have better understanding and to have more appreciation of your word, as it help us to grow closer to you, as it help us to gain wisdom and help us to have knowledge and understanding of things. We ask that you would bless every heart in a special way. We pray for special healings. to be granted to each of us, spiritually, mentally, and physically. We ask that we can take every burden to you, asking for your perfect will to be done as we cast them upon you for help and deliverance. And we pray that we'll be faithful to you until we can receive that crown of glory that you have promised to give to each of us as we get to live in eternity out with you. Help us, Lord, to be able to receive that and to be with you forever. With this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now, undreamed of. God bless you.
Our closing song, I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will worship the Lord. I will worship the Lord. I will
to my God.